So session three, I'm going to talk about celebrating Jesus and his role as a judge. And because you're going to see this as we read these end times passages, he is very, very active in this role. And it's a wonderful thing that he is. And so I'm going to talk about that in this session. Celebrating Jesus and his role as a judge. So I'll just read the first paragraph. One of the most important ways that we can prepare ourselves to thrive in the midst of the great shaking that's going to engulf the world is to understand and rejoice in Jesus' activities as a judge. Many Christians do not know how to properly respond to Jesus, the judge. They don't know what to do with him. They get embarrassed. Have you ever been in a position where somebody comes up to you and they're like, "You say you're God's loving? Then how could a loving God throw somebody into a place like hell?" Yeah? Or they say, you know, when things happen that are judgments from the Lord. Like I believe that 9/11 was one of those things. But what happens when you get on the news, you know, and you're like, you know, we need to repent. we are turning away from the Lord, and why would he protect our nation from our enemies? That's part of the blessings that come to nations that serve him. And we turn away from him, and he lifts his hand and lets an enemy come in and get a strike on our turf. And they're like, "Oh, how could your God do that? Your God's not a loving God." And I'm not ashamed at all of Jesus' role as a judge. I'm proud of him. I'm like, "You do really good at this, Jesus. I'm glad you're doing it." And I'll show you why in this session. But a lot of times believers, they don't know how to respond. They either deny his role in judgment. They're like, no, our God would never do that. Our God's a loving God. He wants to save people. Or they get embarrassed by his activities as a judge. They don't know. They're like, I don't know. Or they misrepresent his heart behind the judgments. Many of his judgments, they're actually, and I'll get to this in a little bit, they're actually redemptive in nature. He is trying to get our attention to get us to change course from following the devil and turn back to him so we don't get a worse judgment called the lake of fire that doesn't end. You guys with me? Good. Understanding God's heart and his purpose behind his judgments will actually strengthen our love for him. It's really true. It will empower us to stand firm in righteousness. I believe God judges sin, and that is a great motivator for me to not sin. I don't think he'll make an exception for me. I really don't, because he's just. And it will enable us to reveal this beauty to others who are disillusioned by hardship. So I want to start off in Exodus 33. And I just want to, talking about Jesus as a judge, I want to make this point. God is the one who defines himself. God defines God. We don't define him. You can say, "My God would never do that." Well, maybe your God wouldn't. But the real God, who there's only one, he defines himself. And I just want to show you this. In Exodus chapter 33, Moses is having this encounter with the Lord. And Moses said, "Now show me your glory." You know what that means? Show me everything that makes you so glorious. That's what it means. Show me your glory. It doesn't just mean show me like a cool light display with a cloud in it. I mean, show me, you know, that's pretty glorious. That's one of the aspects of it. That's cool that you can do that thing, God. That's really awesome. You know, but it's like, show me your glory. Show me what makes you so glorious. What is it about you that makes you who you are? Because you're amazing. Show me your glory. And the Lord said, "Okay, I will cause all my goodness." Everybody say, God is good. Okay? God's like, "Oh, you want to see everything that makes me glorious?" He says, "I'll tell you what. I'm going to show you my goodness. I'm going to show you all my goodness, and I will cause it to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence." And later on, and then God gave him all these instructions of like preparation. He's like, "If I'm going to reveal myself to you in this intimate way, I'm a holy God, you got to get ready." And there are all these things he had to do to get ready. And then finally the moment came and the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses proclaiming, the Lord, this is what this is his glory. All these things are aspects of his nature that make him so glorious. And it's not just one of these things. It's all of them together in one amazing, perfect being that makes him so glorious. The compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. We're like, wow, that's glorious, isn't it? Don't we love all those things about God? Don't you love that he's slow to anger? Don't you love that he's abounding in love? Don't you love that he's gracious with us? Don't you love that he's abounding in faithfulness? It's like, don't worry, I know you're weak in faithfulness, but don't worry, I'm still here. I'm going to help you up. Let's keep going. And he's just steady. You can just absolutely lean on him every time. Maintaining love to thousands, I can't do that very well. But he has the ability to maintain perfect love to more than thousands, actually. But then he says, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. We're like, oh, that's so good. You know, I sum all those things up by saying, God is merciful. God is merciful. But then he goes on. His glory isn't done. There's more to what makes him glorious than just those aspects. Then he says, yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. That's glorious. Do you know the fact that God does not let the guilty go unpunished is a really awesome thing about him? Here's God. Moses says, God, show me what, you're amazing. Show me your glory. Show me what makes you so glorious. God says, okay, I'm going to show you my goodness. And part of his goodness, as defined by God himself, is I punish sin. It's a manifestation. I am so good that I don't let the guilty get away with their junk. I deal with it. Does that make sense? And that is a manifestation of his goodness. You could go, we are so blessed, honestly, we have been so blessed to live in a country where, honestly, there is law and order for the most part. It's eroding, but it's still largely intact compared to many, many places where there's just absolute no law of the land. The law of the land is whoever has the most power does what they want to do and enforces their wicked desires on everybody else. And so they kill who they want to kill. They steal when they want to steal. They take money. They're corrupt. They rape. They do all these kind of horrible things. They take advantage of the weak. And those who are weak and don't have a lot of money and don't have a lot of influence and don't have a lot of political power or connections, they're just trampled. And that's what it's like to live in a land where there's no justice. It's just the whoever's the strongest wicked person gets to do what they want for a little while until some other wicked person becomes more powerful and defeats them. Are you guys with me? I mean, you live in India. You live in some of these places and villages and different places of the world. It's an awful place to live. There's no justice. It's like, man, who's going to... These people take advantage of me. They do horrible things to me. I can do nothing about it. I don't have the power to stop them. And nobody who does have the power to stop them will step in and deliver me. Even though they're totally doing wrong, why are they getting away with it? God's like, they're not going to get away with it. I'm the judge. One of the things that makes me so glorious is I will not let the guilty go unpunished. There comes a point in time where I step in and stop the injustice. Praise the Lord. How did Moses respond to the revelation of God's glory? You know, some people, they're like, no, God is good. He would never judge sin. I'm like, God says, because he's good, he judges sin, as well as forgives if we're willing to repent. Well, which one is he? He's both. You determine which one you get. But he doesn't change. Plan A is mercy. Plan A is that you repent of your sin and you come to him and say, I'm guilty. I have sinned. Help me stop. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to hurt people. I don't want to be in rebellion. I don't want to just go with the flow of the devil. I don't want to do these wrong things. Would you help me become a righteous person? And he says, mercy, I'll forgive your sins over and over again when you come to me with that kind of heart and confess them. And I'll stoop down and come to your level and I will help you up to me, my level. He says, I will go out of my way. I'm patient. I'm faithful. You can fall 1,000 times. And if you're sincere, you repent, I'll forgive you 1,000 times and keep helping you until we win. Plan A is mercy. But here's the deal. If you don't take plan A and you choose to stay in your rebellion against him, the only other option is plan B. And that's wrath. That's the judgment of God will come against you. Because he may be in his mercy, he may not snuff you out right away and stop you. He may let you go for a little bit and try to woo you and win you back and get you to stop on your own. But if you're not willing to deal with your stuff and cooperate with the Holy Spirit to fix the evil in you, he says, there's going to come a point I'm going to step in and I'm going to end it. But I'm giving you time to repent. Does that make sense? So God is good. He is always good. In the book of Revelation, when he's pouring out his judgments, he's manifesting his goodness. For thousands of years, the wicked have done evil things. And actually, Isaiah 63, it's the return of Jesus passage. It's another return of Jesus passage. And I'm not going to be silent anymore. I have been hating these evil things. I watch every evil thing that happens. Do you know that right now there are children, there are women, there are people who are being abused all over the world. They're slaves. They're horrible things that are happening. They're in torment. They have no power to help themselves. And the Lord, his heart is there with them. He knows everything that's happening. His heart breaks and he's like, oh, I hate this. This is not what I made them for. Why are they doing this to each other? For their own lust, for their own greed, for their own gain. He's like, none of this. I'm so tired of this. But God, but I want them to repent. He gives them time. He gives them time. But finally he breaks in. He says, time's up. I'm going to rescue this person. If you were a Jew living in a concentration camp during World War II and the Allied forces show up, and when they show up, it is judgment against Nazi Germany. They're showing up with bombs, their guns, they are capturing them and punishing the wrong things that they did. But you know what? If you're one of the people who are being trampled, you're like, justice is glorious. But if you're one of the ones who are entrenched in evil, you're like, justice is not so great. But you choose. That's the deal. God's plan A is mercy. But if we don't do plan A, that's his preference. If we don't do plan A, then the only other option is we're going to get his judgment. And you know why that's wonderful? Is because when Jesus comes and his will is being done all over the planet like it is in heaven, there'll be no more corruption or injustice anymore. There will be no more slaves. So I'm like, you talk about the judgments of God. I'm like, I love it. It's interesting. You listen to some people and they get mad and they get offended with God because they're like, how could you let that evil thing happen? Why didn't you step in and do something? And they're offended with him because he didn't step in and stop the evil thing quick enough. But then you have a whole bunch of other people who get offended for the opposite reason. They're like, hush, why would he step in and do that? Why couldn't he be merciful and give us more time and give us more time? And it's like, he's both. And he's the only one. He knows how to orchestrate everything just perfect. He has all wisdom, understanding, discernment. He knows when to step in and crack down. He knows what degree to bring punishment. Does that make sense? I mean, he knows. And even when he brings punishment, many times he does it in such a way where it's not a total, complete wrath of God. It's a measure of punishment to bring discipline to turn us away so that we can be spared from the big one, which is the lake of fire. God's acts of judgment are often acts of salvation at the same time, same act. You know, I gave you the illustration of the Allied forces in World War II breaking in and liberating a concentration camp. It's an act of judgment against the Nazi forces, but it's an act of salvation for the people who are prisoners. You guys with me? And so I'm going to show you a scripture that just illustrates this perfectly. Actually, this is all throughout the Bible. Let me ask you a question. Jesus dying on a cross, he's hanging there, and he takes the wrath of God in our place. He experienced it. Was that an act of judgment or an act of salvation? Don't fall. It was both. He took the punishment for our sins. And in doing so, in the exact same act that he experienced our judgment, he offered salvation available to us. Same act. In Exodus chapter 6, verse 6, "Therefore say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you, liberate you." And that's salvation, right? "From being slaves to them. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and" what? "Mighty acts of judgment. I will save you. I'll bring you salvation. I'll rescue you through an act of judgment." Wow. So to say that God is not a judge, he's all love, he would never judge sin. Well, man, tell that to the prostitute who's being kept in a cage. His salvation, his acts of judgment are oftentimes salvation. In Exodus 14, it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, hey, stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters would flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak, the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing toward it, and the Lord swept them into the sea." So who did it? Look, God's like, I did that one. That was me. And he writes his own word. God's not like, sorry, guys, that was just kind of the way things go. It just kind of happens. You know, I had to do this certain thing right here, and I just kind of got away from me, and it accidentally not only made a way for the good guys to get away, but it accidentally came back and bad guys and killed all of them. The Lord's like, no, I did both. I did it on purpose. "The Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them survived. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day," here it is, listen to this word, "the Lord" what? Salvation. "The Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore." Do you see the same act? He parts the Red Sea and closes it back up again. The same act of creating a way for the salvation of his covenant people was an act of bringing judgment for those who oppressed them for 400 plus years. "And when the Israelites saw the great power of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant." You know, God is, I wrote here, you know, God is not bipolar. He's not just like, sorry, sometimes I just get in these moods. Some days I'm happy. Some day I'm just so happy. It's like, well, what a great day. Bless you, bless you, bless you, everybody. And then other days, like, I'm just in a bad mood today. I just ticked off, you know. I'm just judgment, judgment, judgment. God's not like, you know, which one are you, Lord? Like, help me and understand. He's like, I'm totally consistent. I'm 100% consistent. He doesn't suspend one of his attributes to exercise another attribute. Every aspect of his glorious nature works together harmoniously in love and holiness to do what is right. And again, the cross is the ultimate picture of this. It really is. We see him acting in as a just judge at the same time he's acting as a loving Savior, an amazing Father. Same act. I'm going to go into one more scripture, but I want to just give you an illustration. Imagine that you were a judge of like a court in the land here, and you were a really good judge. You had excellent integrity. You knew the laws of the land. You had a merciful heart. And when people would come before you, you would go out of your way to, like, if there was any possible way to, like, you have to punish the sin. You can't just let the guy go free because you'd be a lawbreaker. What do we call judges who change the law to give benefits to some guys that they like, but some they don't? What are they? They're corrupt, right? Jesus isn't a corrupt judge. If we break the law, we get the penalty that is coming to those who break the law. And imagine you're a judge in the land. You're an excellent judge. But if they're away, it's like, man, this person, I just think, you know, they raised in a bad home. They got with a bad crowd, but I think they could be salvaged. You know, if there's a way to kind of do a sentence to get them some redemption, you did your best. You know, you had a good heart. And because of your leadership over decades and you're acting as a just judge in the land, criminals in the land were discouraged from acting out their wicked ideas. Because they're like, man, if we get caught, that judge is not going to just let us go. We're going to get it. So I'm not going to do it. Even though I really want to, I'm not going to. Because it's just too costly. And so it discouraged wickedness in the land. But also because of it, it promoted righteousness in the land. Because there's rewards for doing right. So imagine you're a great judge. And then one day you're in the store, and your wife doesn't know it. And you don't know it, but you're like, oh, your wife is shopping at the same time. You didn't know she was going to be there. And you're like around the corner. She doesn't see you or know you're there. And you hear her talking to some person. And somebody comes up to your wife there, and you overheard this person say, I can't stand your husband. My son did this thing, and he came before your husband. Your husband gave him the death penalty for that. And imagine you listen and you're like, go ahead, honey. Explain to her why it's a good thing that I did that. Tell her about who I am, that I'm a man of integrity, that I'm a man of mercy. And if there is a way to give mercy, I do it. But I'm just, and I can't be bought off, and I can't be corrupted, and I can't be manipulated and schmoozed by people. I always do what is right. Tell her, honey. And then to your pain, you hear your wife say, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that he did that to your son. You know, my husband, I mean, he really, you should just get to know him. I mean, he's a pretty good guy, but sometimes he doesn't do everything right. You know, sometimes he just, you know, I mean, nobody's perfect. And you'd be like, what? And we're the bride of Christ. And Jesus hears every conversation. When somebody comes up to me, they're like, man, how can you say that your God judges sin and does all this stuff? He's eavesdropping. I want to hear worship coming out from my mouth as I say to that person and I testify, he's a good God. That's why he judges sin. Because he judges sin, people who have wanted to do you harm throughout your life haven't been able to get away with it. Because he judges sin, evil is discouraged in the land, even though it's happening all over the place. But because he's a good judge, it is diminished to what it could be if unchecked people were to just fully express the sinful inclinations of their heart. I believe he's going to have a bride when he comes back that's proud of him. They're going to be proud of him. He's an amazing Savior. We could tell you testimonies all day long. But you know what? He's an awesome judge. And because of that, the land could be a good place to live instead of a horrible place to live. And this act of judgment that he did, that was an act of salvation at the same time for Israel by parting the Red Sea and then drowning the Egyptian army. Now listen to this. Only God can do stuff like that. He's so smart. He's so far ahead of us. He's thinking long term. He's got plans today that are going to have ramifications like 1,000 years from now in a certain place. There'll be a direct ramification somehow to this, things he does. Listen to this. Then Joshua, son of Nun. So this is like 40-ish, I don't know. It's years later. Let's just say it that way. Many years later, and Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. Go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab, bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. And she said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, the men left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them. But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, listen to this. I know that the Lord has given you this land, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. Listen to this. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came up out of Egypt. And we heard what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. And when we heard of it, the act of judgment that God did against those people, our hearts melted and everyone's courage failed because of you, for the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. So here's this woman who grows up in a pagan culture. She doesn't know the law of Moses. She doesn't know. You know what she does know? All her life, she's been told whatever their religion was. There's many gods, the god of this, the god of this, and they have all their worship things. That's all she knows. But then she hears there's a god of the Israelites. And she hears of his acts of judgment, how he destroyed whole nations for his covenant people. And she's like, I want to be one of those people, and I want him to be my God. He's the true God. How does this woman figure out the God of these foreign nations is the real God? Heard of his acts of judgment. It led to her salvation. You get it? Okay. Isaiah 26, 9 through 10. I end on this. This is one of my favorite verses. I love it. When your judgments come upon the earth, the people of the world learn righteousness. Do you get that? Though grace is shown to the wicked, they do not learn righteousness. Isn't that interesting? Even in a land of uprightness, they go on doing evil and regard not the majesty of the Lord. What a verse. You know, sometimes I hear like, no, Jesus isn't a judge. Jesus, you know, you just gotta, people gotta, it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. You ever heard that? That's a Bible verse. But sometimes people take it to this extreme that it's not talking about. And they say, no, you can't talk, you can't warn people to turn from sin. That's not gonna lead them to repentance. You gotta show them the goodness of God. And they'll be like, wow, he loves me, he's so good. And then they'll repent and live for him. And you know, that's true. That is true. But it's not the whole story. God says, though grace is shown to the wicked, they don't learn righteousness. You know, there's just certain people that the only way they're going to learn the lesson is through a spanking. There are strong-willed children. I mean, you know? Like, you can go up to some kids and you're like, don't hit him. No, sweetie, don't hit him, right? If you don't hit him, I'll give you this. They're throwing a fit, you know, whatever it is. Don't throw a fit. I'll give you candy. On and on and on. And that sometimes works up to a point until they're really mad at the person. They're like, candy? No, I'm more mad, and I think hitting this person feels better right now than the candy. I want that toy. You guys with me? And that's when you gotta be like, you know what? If you hit him again, you're going into timeout, you're getting a spanking, whatever it is. You see what I'm saying? Their discipline, judgment is going to come. And then it's like, okay, I don't want that. And it's like the way the world, it's what I've learned. Jesus, when he preached the gospel, which, by the way, I think he's a great model to follow for how to preach the gospel. Do you know that not only did he point people to the kingdom of God and reveal the goodness of God and talk about mercy and forgiveness and great and all those wonderful things, but do you know what else he did? He called people to repentance. He warned them. Literally, he warned them to turn from their sins so they would not experience the wrath of God. It's a good motivator. And so we want to reveal the goodness of God in all of his glory, which is he'll forgive you. He's tender. He's patient. He'll help you. He'll work with you as long as you keep coming to him and have that willing and obedient spirit. You can be confident of that in his, but the rest of his goodness, he will punish you if you don't turn from sin. He really will. And so I know we want to be people who not just, I don't want to just reluctantly acknowledge, technically he does judge stuff. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but he's good too. I don't want to do that because that's not the tone of the Bible. The tone of the Bible, they're celebrating his judgments. They're like, absolutely, he's a good judge and he's right. He's not harsh. He doesn't fly off the handle because he's having a bad day. It's always a just judgment. It's always just the right degree of punishment.